This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Welcome back, everybody, to Something's Brewing. This is episode 8. It's your weekly Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast. I'm your host, Jason Sukumel. Back with another edition. Lots more to talk about, man. Busy week once again. In the past, we've been talking about a lot of commitments and some movement and some surprise visits and, you know, Texas commitments visiting elsewhere and things of that nature. Well, nothing that crazy this weekend. This is kind of more of a, I guess I'd call it a traditional mainstream news week where Texas had some official visitors last weekend. And I was able to touch base. They had three of them in last weekend. I was able to touch base with all three of them and talk to all three of them. So we'll probably go ahead and start there. But this week, it's been pretty routine. It's been kind of nice, man. It kind of reminds me going back to my old school days. I've been doing this for, about 20 years now, covering recruiting. And it's kind of nice to have a pretty routine, unexciting, uneventful week, if you will, where there are no real drama to discuss, no surprise commitments, no Texas commits popping up on other campuses, just, you know, not a lot of unexpected this week, which is pretty nice. And when I say I've been doing this for about two decades now, it's just kind of popped in my head as I was talking this out. That reminds me of a story from, it was a little less than 2 years ago, because it was Sam Ellinger's senior year of high school. And I'm out there at the Lake Travis and Austin Westlake playoff game, and Ellinger was hurt by chance. And this is right after the Texas coaches, most of the staff had been hired. The full staff wasn't even in place yet. Well, because they hadn't hired a full staff, Texas could designate guys like Derek Chang and Michael Huff as coaches for a small period of time. So those guys could actually go to the games, kind of watch the game, be, you know, kind of recruit off campus. Well, anyways, I was kind of introducing myself. I saw some of the Texas coaches on the sideline and Tom Herman and a couple of the current assistants, and Huff was there, and I was talking to, I forget which of the assistants it might've been, Jason Washington, and Michael Huff was standing there. And I said, man, I told Huff, I said, I've been doing this so long, you know, kind of dating myself and dating Michael Huff's age. I said, I remember the days, man, when guys like Michael Huff would take their official visits, and on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, we'd be calling. Their cell phones weren't even around back then, man. So we'd have to call them on their landlines, on their home phones, and just hope to catch them basically as soon as they got through the door, be the first one to catch those guys and do a phone interview on their landline. And man, just the market, the times have changed considerably. Now you got direct message and obviously cell phones and text messages and their social media, and there's just a lot more people chasing after this information. So it's kind of a fine line my job has turned into now. Yes, you want to get the information, obviously. I want to deliver good information to you listeners, to our readers on orangebloods.com, but I also never want to be that guy who's going to just blow up kids' phones while they're on their official visits. These are still 17-year-old kids, man. I want to enjoy the experience. I want to be in the background or on the peripheral figure in this thing. And, you know, too many reporters try to get too involved in this process, and it drives me nuts. Maybe I'm old school. I guess I am old school. There's no maybe about that. And I've said it before. If that means I'm going to get beat on a scoop because I'm not going to pester a kid with 10 messages or phone calls during an official visit, or I'm not going to stake out the airport, or, you know, I'm not going to get in bed with some sources who maybe don't have the best interest of the kids at hand, you know what? So be it, man. I'm going to go about my job the way I've always done it. It's worked for me for about 20 years. But anyways, you know, this was a good weekend. Texas had three official visitors. I kind of took an old school approach, and I was able to catch up with those guys as they were leaving or getting on their plane or after they got back home. So we'll just kind of jump right in there and start off. First one we'll talk about is Peyton Powell, the athlete. He's classified as an athlete, and you know, sometimes that description doesn't necessarily fit. It certainly fits with Peyton Powell. He's out of Odessa, Permian. You know, big kid, plays quarterback for Permian. But when I say athlete, you know, usually that means they can play several positions. Well, that, you know, Peyton Powell fits the bill there. This is a young man who, as I said, plays quarterback for Odessa Permian. You have schools like Ohio State recruiting him as a safety prospect. A lot of other schools, including TCU, Oklahoma was in on him for a while. They like him kind of as an athlete, maybe a wide receiver. Texas initially offered him, I have to go back and look, I think it might have been late in the summer, I believe, Texas offered him as a wide receiver. And this is pretty interesting to me, and I think it's kind of been under-discussed, if you will. I haven't seen others talk about it or report it, and even on our board, it hasn't. Our Orange Bloods message board hadn't been talked about a ton, but Texas offered him as a wide receiver. Wide receivers coach Drew Merringer was his primary recruiter. Well, I talked to Peyton Powell in early September because I got word back then that he was going to be taking a visit pretty soon, and it ended up being about a month and a half. He kind of postponed that thing a couple times. But when I talked to him in early September, Peyton Powell told me, he said, hey, well, Texas is now recruiting him as a quarterback, and Tim Beck had gotten heavily involved in his recruitment. When he told me that, man, I got to admit, I kind of shook my head a little bit. And I said, that just didn't seem to make much sense. Texas has a quarterback commitment in Rashawn Johnson that the staff's really high on. They haven't targeted any other quarterbacks that I've really seen since Rashawn Johnson gave a crazy early commitment. But, you know, Powell is pretty descriptive, pretty detailed about it. His conversations with Tim Beck, and Texas has told him, yeah, you'll get a look at quarterback. Now, you know, let's kind of be honest here. Does that mean he's coming in with the, if he comes to Texas, with a true intention of truly being a quarterback, and that's what the staff's going to do with him? Not necessarily, but it may be a case where he gets a situational look, and if that's where he wants to play first, and then you figure it out from there. But bottom line, he's being told he will get a look at quarterback, and I bring that up because when I talked to him on Sunday night as he was finishing up his Texas official visit, he literally was fixing to board his airplane, and so we talked for a couple quick minutes, and I asked him the same question. I said, well, who did you talk to and what position? And he said, once again, quarterback. So don't you know, I don't want to oversell, certainly, Peyton Powell being brought in as a quarterback for Texas, and I'm not saying he's going to be a future quarterback in this program, but don't undervalue and don't underestimate the fact that Texas is telling him that either, that he could get a look. But, you know, in talking to Peyton this on Sunday night, he told me, man, it was just a great visit. He loved everything about it. The thing that stood out, he said, was his time with the Texas coaches and just kind of their plan and the confidence they have in him as a player. Now, he didn't have any other visits set up. He's taken four now. I think he's visited Virginia, who's not really a factor. Texas, Ohio State, TCU, still has one visit left if he wants it. He told me, he said, I'm still considering about 10 schools. And I said, well, realistically, which ones are standing out? He said it would be Ohio State, Texas, TCU, and Texas Tech. So he's got one visit left. If he takes it, keep an eye on Texas Tech as a possibility there. But I got to tell you, man, if you're talking to him after this visit, I think Texas's chances are really, really good here. Ohio State likes him as a safety. In talking to Peyton Powell, I think he prefers to play offense. That may give Texas the leg up the Longhorns need here. So he did tell me, now, he doesn't have a date in mind to commit, but he said it'll be soon. I think he said very soon. So this thing could wrap up in the next couple of weeks, very possibly. Now, that being said, we've kind of thought there was a couple times previously we thought this thing was close to hitting the finish line, and Peyton Powell has pushed things back. But coming out of the weekend, all I can tell you, he's a tough kid to read at times. And I know about a week ago or about, well, maybe 2 weeks ago, there was some confidence. I talked to some Ohio State insiders. There was some real confidence that Peyton Powell was favoring Ohio State. Maybe that was Ohio State insiders kind of just kind of hearing what they wanted to hear, but that's what they thought at that time. But coming out of this Texas visit, I think the Longhorns' chances are as good or probably better than any other team he's considered. Right now, I give Texas the slight edge there. So we'll keep an eye on that one. It's a pretty interesting dynamic with him, obviously being an athlete, quarterback, receiver, DB, you know, but he's the type of caliber of athlete. Hey, you just take him if you can get him, and then you figure out the rest later. You give him a shot at quarterback if that's what he wants. You know, if that doesn't work out, he'll find a way to help your team in some capacity. Second official visitor, a guy we've talked about quite a bit, talked about him on this podcast last week, is Caleb Johnson out of Fullerton Community College, a linebacker, speedy linebacker, kind of in the mold of Gary Johnson, current starter for Texas, two-year starter for Texas. You know, I talked to Caleb. He flew home Sunday evening. I talked to him Sunday right when he got home. He was generous enough with his time to get on the phone with me and give me an update, kind of fresh on the heels of that visit. And, you know, to say that Caleb Johnson liked the visit, I think would be an understatement. This is a young man who really just kind of raved about the whole process, the whole visit, what he saw in Austin, the time he spent with the Texas coaches, so much so that he flat out told me, he said, hey, you know, Texas is his leader. His quote was, they're definitely number one. I think it's going to take a lot for a school to show me more than that and have more to offer. I mean, he's going to visit Arkansas this weekend. He visited Colorado two weekends ago. The one to watch here, I still think Oregon could be a factor there. I talked to some people who spent time with Caleb Johnson while he was on campus during his official visit, kind of behind the scenes here. Now, he was telling people behind the scenes, hey, it's either going to be Texas or Oregon. Now, you got Arkansas visit this weekend. You got to watch out for that one. But I do think right now the Longhorns are the team to beat. He doesn't have an Oregon visit set up just yet. But if he does, he's a West Coast guy, grew up in California. He plays JUCO ball in Cali. So Oregon could slip in there and make it interesting. You said if he does visit Oregon, it'll be in November. But, you know, coming into this visit, Caleb Johnson had extremely high expectations of what he was going to see and the people he was going to meet. So much so, you know, people at his program out there at Fullerton Community College were telling him, dude, you're going to love it when you get there. You're going to commit to Texas. That's where you're going to wind up. And he and I kind of joked about that last week. Well, I asked him on Sunday night, I said, hey, you had high expectations about this visit coming in. I said, did it meet or did it even exceed those expectations? And he's repeating himself. He said, man, it definitely did. It definitely did. So even though he had high expectations, Texas really blew him away. He spent a lot of time with Gary Johnson, spent a lot of time with Malcolm Roach, he said. He loved the city of Austin. He loved the facilities, the players. Really liked his time talking to the coaches and Todd Orlando. Just the opportunity that Texas presents with him being able to come in possibly and slide right into Gary Johnson's space, Gary Johnson being a senior this year, of course. So I think it's going to be really tough. I mean, Oregon's one to watch, but I do think this is going to be very tough for someone to come in and push Texas out of that top spot. Based on my conversation with Caleb on Sunday night, you know, I get it. There's still some shine from the visit on Sunday night. But, man, he loved the program before he came in. And when he got home, I think his view of the Texas program had even elevated. As I get a call on my landline here, which never happens. That's right, folks. I have a landline. But let me jump back in. Sorry for that distraction. On the third wide receiver, official visitor, rather, was Kennedy Lewis, a wide receiver out of Melissa, Texas. He's a big body receiver, about 6'4", between 6'3 and 6'4 is what he told me. He's a little over 200 pounds. This is a young man who's committed to TCU. He's been committed to TCU for about 4 months, but Texas offered him a while back and went ahead and brought him in for an official visit this weekend. And he's another man, I sound like a broken record, but this staff doesn't miss on official visits. I mean, they make a good impression. It was a good game atmosphere. Kennedy Lewis saw Colin Johnson and Lil Jordan Humphrey making plays. So as a big receiver, that certainly had to be appealing for him. But he, too, and came in and enjoyed the visit. His parents accompanied him on the visit. He told me his parents loved what they saw. So much so when I talked to him, this was Monday afternoon I talked to him. So had a little bit of time to kind of soak in that visit and talked to his parents about it Sunday night. When I talked to him on Monday, he told me there was a really good chance he's going to decommit from TCU this week. He said probably Wednesday. So about the time some of y'all will be listening to this, keep an eye on that one. Kennedy Lewis may go ahead and decommit from TCU. And he said, hey, it's not necessarily about Texas if I decommit. It's more that he thinks he rushed into a decision before he probably was ready, and he wants to maybe take a couple other visits. He mentioned Florida. He mentioned Notre Dame. All that being said, you know, again, recruiting a lot of times is about kind of reading between the lines. Him considering decommitting the day after he gets home from his Texas official visit, that's pretty telling, okay? That says a lot. And I asked Kennedy, I said, hey, would I be wrong if I said that I think Texas is the team to beat? And he said, no, you would not be wrong, not at all. So technically, as I'm recording this, he's still committed to TCU. I think that's going to change. I think Texas is going to land him, and I think there's a really good chance Texas goes for a clean sweep with these three players the Longhorns hosted over the weekend. So that would be, once again, a pretty incredible weekend and an incredible, incredible hit rate for the Longhorns if they are able to reel in all three of those guys. And right now, you take them individually. I'm cautiously putting my money on Peyton Powell. I feel pretty comfortable with my money on Caleb Johnson. I feel pretty comfortable with my money on Kennedy Lewis, all three of those guys going to Texas. So pretty interesting weekend. No real fireworks just yet in the way of commitments, but you know that could change in the near future, and this weekend will definitely pay dividends. And you know, as I was kind of writing about those guys this week on Orange Bloods, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, wow, Kennedy Lewis is a receiver, Peyton Powell's a receiver, Texas has three guys committed already at receiver. They're waiting for another Marcus Washington, a Rivals 250 receiver, to make his decision. They're still after guys like Brew McCoy and Elijah Higgins. Like, what? Like, how are these numbers going to work out? I mean, they can't take eight or nine receivers, obviously. But as I kind of started to look at it, man, I looked at the roster and started to break it down. It kind of starts to make sense a little bit. You've got Colin Johnson and Lil Jordan Humphrey, the top two receivers on the team, no question about it. Maybe the top two offensive players on the team. Both those guys are juniors, and there's a chance that one or even both could declare for the NFL draft. So if that happens, obviously you've got a big hole there you need to fill. Okay, maybe even one of them goes. Maybe none of them, neither of them do. It's possible, but if one or two goes, hey, man, you've got to start grooming some guys and getting them ready, okay? You're going down the roster a little bit further. Gerard Hurd is a senior, so he'll be gone. John Burt's a senior. He'll be gone. Devin Duvernay will be a senior next year, so he'll be back, but you've got to start getting some of these young guys ready because he's got one more year and then he's gone. Beyond that, it's a bunch of young guys. Josh Moore is a true freshman who's played some. Brennan Eagles is a true freshman who's played some. You know, both those guys are still unproven. True freshman Alvante Woodard has a ton of upside, but again, unproven. Jordan Pouncey, unproven. He's shown well in practice at times, but there's not much proven depth between those top two and top three, if you want to throw Duvernay in there. There's just not much proven depth for Texas. Deshaun Jameson, true freshman, has got some playing time, but most people, including myself, think he's going to wind up sliding back over to defense next year. That's where everybody thought he was going to play when he was being recruited. So you look at that and you say, okay, it just makes sense why Texas is going to have to take a large recruiting class at the receiver position. You dig a little deeper and it even makes more sense. You got Jordan Whittington, one of their receiver commitments out of Cuero. I mean, he's labeled as an athlete. And again, he is an athlete. He can be a good college receiver, no doubt about that, but I think most people I've talked to think, and I think his head coach, when I talked to him, he said, hey, he'll be a really good college receiver, but he thinks he could be all world as a safety. So Jordan Whittington, he could still play on the defensive side of the ball. Jake Smith is a pure receiver. He can do some things out of the backfield for you, certainly on special teams, but he is a pure receiver that he'll stay at that position. Demarion Houston, the third receiver commitment for Texas, is an outside receiver. He'll stay at receiver, but this is a young man I've kind of mentioned on these podcasts in the past. There are some people close to him that want him to take other visits. So he is solid to Texas. I haven't heard anything that he's wavering, but as he takes visits, if he takes visits, that's something to watch. That could affect your receiver numbers. I mentioned Marcus Washington, the wide receiver out of St. Louis, a Rivals 250 receiver. He's supposed to decide, as you're listening to this, it won't be this Friday, the 19th, but it'll be the 26th. He's going to make his announcement. Looks like it's going to be either Texas or Missouri. I think it's going to be Texas. He's a big body outside receiver, so, you know, kind of in the mold of a Kennedy Lewis, so those two could certainly both help out, fill the void for a guy like Colin Johnson if he leaves. You know, I mentioned Peyton Powell. He's kind of an athlete, so he's a wild card there. Brew McCoy, the five-star guy out of California, we've talked about every single week on this podcast. Well, A, you know, I'm not sure I would call Texas the leader there. B, Brew McCoy is another guy who is an athlete who could wind up playing on defense. Elijah Higgins is the big receiver out of Austin Bowie, who Texas continues to recruit and continues to target. Hey, it's great if you get him, but right now I don't think I would consider Texas the favorite. So, you know, a lot of moving parts here between players who could switch positions, not a lot of proven depth on the current roster. Your top two players are both guys who could consider leaving early, so it just makes sense. I look for this to be a five-man receiver class, maybe even more than that if a guy like Brew McCoy wants to come on. You just figure out the numbers. You make it work. Maybe some guys wind up at other positions. So pretty interesting, you know, weekend with the recruiting, with the official visits, especially with two of them being two, I'd say I'll call them potential wide receivers, if you will. But wide receiver recruiting will be very interesting to follow over the next month or so, certainly leading up to that early signing day. The big unofficial visitor Texas had in was Jalen Catalon, the safety out of Mansfield Legacy, who unfortunately is going to miss just about all of his senior year. He tore his ACL. I think it might have been their season opener. It might have been week two. I can't remember, but he's out for the year. But he was in for his unofficial visit. Catalon, it's weird. He's a guy that's always been great about doing interviews and things, but ever since his knee injury, he's kind of put recruiting on the back burner, doesn't say a whole lot. So I have not been able to catch up with him after his visit. You know, the kind of cards there seem to be trending towards Arkansas. And if you've listened to me on this podcast or on our boards, that's not a big surprise. I think a lot of people kind of in this market, if you will, overplayed Texas as being a dominant leader for Jalen Catalon. There was a time when Catalon visited Texas a couple times in the summer, I did think the Longhorns were the team to beat. They did a great job hosting him on these visits. Craig Nivar, the safeties coach, has done an incredible job with this one. You know, took him to a couple baseball games when he was in town, and Catalon's also a fantastic baseball player, so that made a huge impression. But Arkansas has done a really good job here. They've kind of closed that gap up. He has one teammate, Enoch Jackson, defensive end, who is currently committed to Arkansas. There's a really good chance Arkansas gets another one of his teammates, Torian Carter, a defensive lineman, another defensive lineman. So, you know, Catalon's a pretty independent thinker. He's not the type of kid that's going to make his decision based on having two teammates going to Arkansas, but it sure as hell doesn't hurt either. That definitely helps. He probably sees a pretty quick path to playing time at Arkansas, where at Texas, the DB numbers are going to be pretty crowded with the way UT has recruited. Arkansas has done a good job recruiting him too, man. You know, there's no way to spin it. They've done a good job, and obviously they're not playing well, but playing in the SEC is a draw for some kids. So Catalon was in Austin this weekend. That's a good sign. You know, he keeps saying he's going to go ahead and take an official visit. This thing, he's not going to rush into a decision here. So there's still time for Texas to keep chipping away here and, you know, maybe kind of swing the momentum or the pendulum back in UT's favor. But right now, I think that one maybe slightly favors Arkansas over Texas. That being said, I need to catch up with Catalon. I'll keep working on that. He doesn't want to talk much about it, which I get it. So, but hopefully I'll get to talk to him and get a better feel for what he's thinking. So those are kind of the big notes from what was a pretty eventful recruiting weekend in terms of moving the needle on some targets. The other big story this week is with Texas having an off week, the Texas coaching staff is on the road visiting schools, kind of making appearances, getting some, just to show their faces to some of their top targets. You know, they can't go into these schools, obviously, and have sit-down conversations with players. So I don't want to overstate the importance, but just being, having a presence at these schools is important. And I do find it very interesting that early in the week, Tom Herman's first stops on Monday, he was kind of all over the Dallas, Fort Worth Metroplex at schools, you know, like Cedar Hill, like DeSoto, you know, schools that traditional powerhouse schools, Highland Park, that send out a lot of top talent, schools that have players that Texas is recruiting for the 2020 class, 2021 class. So we've talked, you know, on Orange Bloods and on various podcasts about the need for Texas to do a better job recruiting the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Texas has more than held its own in the Houston area. They did a great job there. The bulk of their 2018 class, which is playing exceptionally well, was from the Houston area. That's where Tom Herman and his staff have ties, but they just haven't had the kind of pull out of DFW that in the Metroplex area that you'd like to see them have. I mean, that's a very fruitful recruiting ground, obviously. And, you know, right now Texas is kind of struggling. I mean, A&M's doing well up there. Oklahoma's doing well up there. And, you know, that's not to be unexpected. Oklahoma always recruits that area well, especially when they're playing well. A&M with a new dynamic recruiting staff, they're going to do well, but Texas has to find a way to recruit that area better, because year in and year out, you're going to have elite talent in the Metroplex area. Well, Tom Herman, you know, he's been asked about it before, and he's kind of downplayed the significance. You know, maybe when he was asked a couple weeks ago, hey, does playing that Texas OU game in Dallas mean more for recruiting efforts in that area? And he said, no, I mean, every game for the University of Texas is a showcase for recruits all over the state. And there is some truth to that. But bottom line, Texas needs to be a bit more of a haymaker in the DFW area. On Monday, the first day Tom Herman could go out and hit the road, he was bouncing around, you know, four or five different schools up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, power player schools who produce a lot of Division I talent. So that's something worth watching. The other thing coming out of this week's visits, you know, a question I get every week, I think, is, hey, who is Texas going to get to fill out its offensive line recruiting class? They have two commitments right now, but who are the other guys that they're going to take to fill out this class? Well, right now they only have like one or two offers out there to uncommitted offensive linemen, and I don't think they're favored at all to get either one of those two players. So it's kind of a head scratcher. My honest answer has been like, man, I just don't know who's going to wind up being on their radar and get offers. I've always thought, and I've said, hey, I think Herb Hand is going to get out this fall and identify some players, and they'll land a couple guys, kind of like they did with Christian Jones last year, a lineman who committed very late to Texas. Herb Hand got on him late after he was hired at Texas. Texas offered him, was able to secure that commitment at the last minute. Well, I've always thought that this fall would be a time for Herb Hand to go out, kind of see some guys in person, you know, watch their film, maybe some guys kind of develop as seniors, and he'll go out and land a couple of those guys. Well, this week you would think would be when that ball maybe starts to get rolling a little bit. So wouldn't shock me. I'm not sure we'll see offers go out this week per se, but wouldn't shock me for the next week or so after the staff gets back in Austin, they kind of sit down and talk about it and, you know, maybe look at some film together. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a couple offensive linemen pick up scholarship offers. Maybe that picture starts to come into focus a little bit more, because it's been a tough one to decipher, honestly, for the first couple months of the fall season. So those are kind of the hot topics coming out of last week. Like I said, it was a busy official visit weekend. I think Texas made tremendous progress, tremendous strides with the three guys they had on campus for official visits. If I'm a betting man right now, I feel pretty good about the Longhorns' chances of landing all three of those guys. So can't ask for much better success than that. So I think we've touched on what I wanted to touch on. I'm going to wrap it up as I always do. I had some pretty interesting recruiting questions submitted. And I always say, sometimes y'all, you readers and you fans, come up with things that I haven't thought of. And it's kind of refreshing to kind of just see what y'all want to hear about and come up with some fresh ideas this way. So the first question I'll address is, what are the remaining numbers? And he gives me four positions: offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver, and linebacker. Well, we'll go one by one. Offensive line, they have two commitments. They're both tackle commitments. You know, Tyler Johnson and Javon Shepherd are the commitments. I think they're going to go for a couple more, but it's been such, there's been such limited movement on the offensive line. I think, well, seriously, they can't just go for one more unless they're going to target maybe, you know, maybe a late JUCO prospect or a grad transfer. But I think they'll get a couple more offensive linemen, probably on the interior. I just don't know who those guys are going to be just yet. You know, we'll have to see if some new guys pop onto the radar here. Defensive line, again, they have two defensive linemen committed. You know, the numbers there, everybody's kind of worried and wondering, hey, are they going to take four? Are they going to take five? I think four is probably your target number. And with the way Texas is running a lot of three-man fronts, I'm not sure four is an absolute necessity, to be honest. I think they could get by with three, especially when you consider that Tavondre Sweat is kind of a swing guy who can play end. He can play tackle. They took two pure defensive tackles last year. So I think they're in pretty good shape there. I think if they take one more for sure, maybe a couple more. I mean, again, this all depends on, you know, if DeMarvin Leal suddenly wants to flip, yeah, you find room. You take five or however the hell you need to get a guy like that. But right now I'm thinking four is probably realistic. Wouldn't shock me even if they took three. Wide receiver I talked about earlier, man. I mean, I think this number, they're at three right now. I think it's going to go to five for sure. I think there's a pretty good or a realistic chance it could go to six even if someone like a Brew McCoy wanted to come on board, or if you want to consider Peyton Powell a wide receiver, which I don't think Texas is. So I think, you know, I think five is a very realistic number at receiver. Linebacker, honestly, I think they take one more. They have three linebacker commitments. I talked about Caleb Johnson, the JUCO linebacker. He's a three-year player. He'll come in with 3 years of Division I eligibility. So it's almost like taking a prep player. I think they take Caleb Johnson. I think they're pretty good there. They probably shut it down at the linebacker position. Next question. This is, of all the 2019 recruits currently committed, which one do you view as the most important guy, the guy we absolutely cannot lose, Texas cannot lose? Well, there's a couple different directions you can go with this. I mean, Rashawn Johnson at quarterback is always going to be a justifiable answer there. He's a quarterback. He's a damn good one. Jake Smith, I think, is the most exciting player in this class. He is the type of player Texas needs. They need some game-breaking ability on offense, so I think Jake Smith makes sense. But if there's one guy that I'm going to pick as the one they can't afford to lose, I don't think they will. I think it's offensive tackle Tyler Johnson. I think he's a fantastic prospect. I think he's right up there with some of the better offensive tackles Texas has signed over the last 6-7 years probably. And that's just a tough position to recruit sometimes. And frankly, Texas, their offensive line recruiting right now, I mean, they, like I said, they have two commitments, so they can't afford to lose one of the two that they have. So I would say Tyler Johnson would kind of be the guy I would signal out there. Next question is kind of, I don't know how to answer this really, but will our average star ranking per player drop below Texas A&M if we keep targeting three stars like Kennedy Lewis and Caleb Johnson? Well, right now Texas does have a slightly higher star ranking per player than Texas A&M. If you take a couple three-star players, yeah, it could drop. But, hey, those guys could always get a bump in the rankings as well. But, frankly, I don't – that doesn't worry me too much. I mean, if you're a Texas fan, yeah, it's nice to say, hey, our star ranking or our recruiting ranking is higher than Texas A&M's. But Caleb Johnson's a need player at a need position. Texas values big-bodied receivers on the outside. They need some. So Kennedy Lewis certainly makes sense. And bottom line is you just have to – trust this staff's evaluations. They've done a great job with their evaluations so far. So you got to trust in what they're whatever they're wanting to do. Any next question? Any A&M commitments looking at Texas again as possible flips? Man, that question comes in every week, guys. And I've said it, I think one of my first podcasts that I recorded here, I think Jeff Ketchum and I talked, I said, hey, I don't see that happening. I mean, yeah, DeMarvin Leal, everybody talks about him as a possibility. He was the one that I thought was a long shot, but I didn't see that happening. I think it might be time to put that one to bed for a while. Yeah, Texas is playing well, but so is A&M. A&M's playing pretty well. Jimbo Fisher's done a good job. He's, you know, his name carries some weight. So I don't see a case where a lot of or any A&M commitments right now flip to Texas. Next question. I'll touch on a couple more here. It says one or two quarterbacks for 2020. Will Texas take one or two? It said, I know it's early, but how about an early forecast for quarterbacks for 2021? So we're talking guys who are in their sophomore years of high school. One or two for 2020. Well, they already have one committed in Hudson Card, and Texas has other offers out there. I think in a perfect world, if they only take one this year, if Peyton Powell's not a long-term quarterback, I think two is very realistic. I don't know who that second one would be right now. I mean, they're in a pretty good spot in the quarterback room. You know, you got a junior in Bouchel, a sophomore in Ellinger, two true freshmen. You'll have a true freshman next year. I think you could get by taking one, certainly, but two for 2020 wouldn't be a surprise at all, especially if there's a chance that one of those current true freshmen winds up transferring at some point, which there's no reason to think there is right now, but it's something to think about, you know, a year or two down the road. As for 2021, the only offer they have out is Preston Stone, who is just a dynamic young quarterback. You know, Texas offered him early, but he's going to have his pick of just about any school in the country. And honestly, I haven't focused on him too much. I mean, he's so young. I don't like bugging those guys when they're sophomores in high school. So, let's see. Good question here. We all know Zachary Evans is a stud, but the two Irish running backs, this guy labels them, are pretty darn good too. He's talking about Jace McClellan and Seth McGowan, two running backs. McClellan's out of Aledo. He's committed to Oklahoma. Seth McGowan out of Mesquite Poteet. Who would I take out of Evans, McGowan, and McClellan? Well, Zach Evans is in a class by himself, but you know, those other two, man, you really can't go wrong. They're both Rivals 100 players for a reason. Those guys are both Rivals 100 players for a reason. And I'm getting a text message as I'm recording here. Sorry, as I'm pausing. I mentioned it earlier, but it looks like, and I haven't even seen this yet, but it looks like Kennedy Lewis did decommit from TCU. So I said, hey, it might happen as some of y'all were listening to this. It looks like it happened as I'm recording this. So that bodes well for Texas, as I said earlier. But anyways, back to the question at hand. I don't think you can go wrong with either of those guys. Seth McGowan's had some injury issues, but he's, you know, I need to kind of sink into his senior film a little bit and kind of reinvest some time looking at him. But Jace McClellan's a fantastic back out of Aledo, who's committed to Oklahoma, does like Texas, though, and he's visited a couple times. But, you know, the obvious answer there is Zach Evans is the guy that would separate from that pack. Okay, last one here I'll touch on. It's got like four questions wrapped into one, and I'll just hit them one by one. Where do we stand with Stripling and Tuitele? Stripling's a defensive end. Tuitele's a defensive tackle. Stripling, in my conversations with him, he likes Texas, but it's always kind of been Texas, I don't want to say as an afterthought. They're in his top five for a reason, but he doesn't talk about Texas, or he hasn't talked to me about Texas maybe the way he does some other schools. I still think A&M is the clear leader there. The only way I don't see him going to A&M is if he gets squeezed out on numbers. You know, A&M's got darn near a full class already, but they'll make room for him, I have to think. Tuitele, the defensive tackle out of Hawaii. I wish I knew, man. I've reached out to that kid. He does not do interviews. Texas is in his top five, so you got to figure Texas is going to get an official visit. But I don't have a good feel. I wish I had a better answer for you. All I can tell you is Texas should get him on campus for an official visit. This staff always does a good job when they get guys on official visits. Can they pull him away? You know, some people think he'll stay maybe a little further out west, like a Washington or a Pac-12 school. You know, I don't know. Texas has had success in that area in the past, but I haven't spoken to the young man directly, so I don't have a great feel. Next same person asked, has Branson Bragg, the center out of Crandall, Texas, has that ship sailed, or do I think Texas is still in it with Stanford slipping and Texas on the upswing? I think that ship has sailed. I think you can pretty much give up on that one. I'll reach out to Branson, but when he committed to Stanford, I mean, he was just about as solid as you could get. He got accepted into Stanford. He was locked in. I don't see any way he wavers on that decision. Do I think Texas gets Marcus Washington, the receiver? I kind of mentioned earlier, yes, I do. I favor Texas over Missouri there. And if so, do I think his teammate Mookie Cooper, who is a 2020 prospect, do I think he follows quickly to help jumpstart our 2020 class, the Texas 2020 class? I could see Mookie acting quickly. I think Texas gets him if they get Marcus Washington. Now, Mookie has told me he wants to take his time, but pretty much all kids say that. And then sometimes they get caught up in the emotion, you know, in the excitement and go ahead and commit. Wouldn't shock me if he committed early. I think he probably waits maybe until the spring sometime, but I think Texas's chances skyrocket if they get Marcus Washington. I think the Longhorns are the team to beat for Mookie Cooper, who's a dynamic, kind of a slot receiver, running back type, kind of in similar mold of Jake Smith, if you will. But, you know, listen, if Texas could get him back on campus at some point, yeah, he might commit as soon as he's on campus. But as of right now, my guess would be he probably takes this thing in the spring. He said he wants to take a few more visits, but I do think Texas is the team to beat there. He'd be a heck of a pickup for the 2020 class. Would be a great compliment to the commitment Texas has from quarterback Hudson Carr. Those would be two dynamic players, dynamic athletes, a lot of speed on offense. Would be a great pickup for Texas. So that's what we've got this week, folks. Next week, may dig in a little deeper to Texas's their recruiting efforts and what the guys they saw on the road this week. So, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit more in detail and kind of get some reactions from the players that Texas does visit this week. So I hope everybody has a good week. I do, as always, appreciate everybody listening. It's been a fun season to cover recruiting. Texas on a 6-game winning streak, sitting alone in first place in the Big 12 conference. So, man, just my advice to everybody is don't nitpick these wins too much. You know, I talked about it after the game on Saturday night. Yeah, maybe they're a little closer than some people would like, and maybe these wins have some warts to them. But you know what? A win is a win. They're 6-1, first place in the Big 12 conference. Those efforts are spilling over into recruiting, and recruiting is close to taking off. So, again, appreciate everybody listening. Y'all have a great week, and I will talk to you next week. This is Jason Sukumel, your host of Something's Brewing, hosted by our partners at The Yak. Thank you.